excellent job. And somebody said that they believed that Ron Jones was a cross between Dave McCracken and Jeff Abels. Could be a lot. There's a lot, some of the truth in that. And I don't know which part. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. But Brother Jones has been through a lot of things last 4 years. Not that we haven't. Other people have. But the Lord has blessed him, and he loves missions. His church, they took up about $350,000 last year, and I like preachers who know what it means to be mission minded, and lead your church in the area of missions. And I want our church to be known as a mission minded church. Now, when you talk about mission minded, it doesn't just mean that we give money or we give a lot of money. It also means we're willing to give of our own people. Amen. To go out and to go out into the uttermost part of the world. And we all need to be willing to do that. And I believe that everybody needs to be conscious of that God may speak to your heart about preaching the gospel and going on the mission field. You could be the next one up. So just be sensitive about that if God speaks to your heart. Revelation 2, let's stand tonight. We're going to read. We go to the fourth church. We've looked at the church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and now this is Thyatira. And Jesus has some good things to say, and he has some bad things to say. And the one thing, sometimes we need to understand that if we're not careful, bad can override good. And so I'm just saying that you get a little bit of negative, and everybody wants to dwell on the negative, but really it's what Jesus says. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, for instance, even if you had if you said that this is a pot of stew, but there's only two teaspoons of poison in it, and so you should be good to go. There's a big thing, but nobody's going to eat the stew because there's a negative connotation to that. Well, it's a pretty negative connotation if Jesus makes a comparison to the church to Jezebel and says that you've suffered Jezebel to be allowed in the church. So let's look at this. Verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. And then the description, like he's given in every one of the churches, there's something different that is said about the Lord. It says this, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. Now all of those things are awesome. Love, and serving, and your faith, and what you believe, and the patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first, notwithstanding. I have a few things against thee, and the reason that he has something against them is because thou hast sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now I can't help but go into Sunday school when we're in 1 John when I hear the word seducer, or I hear the word antichrist, or I hear the word liar. Amen. And basically when you think about Jezebel, she was all of those. Amen. And when you think about that, here was Israel who had a Jehovah God. She was the one that hated authority and led the nation of Israel in the north. She led her husband like this to go into Baal worship. And he just followed her in every aspect, even though, and God gave him great grace on many occasions. But Jezebel was the main issue. If you wanted to say Ahab and Jezebel, probably it should be better said Jezebel and Ahab, because she had a lot of that to do. And so Jesus said, within this church, there's somebody that teaches and seduces servants to commit fornication. That's very clear about going away from the way things should be, and then to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I like verse 21 because God is a gracious God, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, can I say this right here? God will always take care of things that need to be taken care of. Amen. And if somebody has something to answer for, they're going to answer to God. And God said, I've given them space to repent. She did not repent, and she will go into great tribulation. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I think you understand that some of these, I would take me a couple of weeks to go through them, and I'm trying to just do it in 1 week. So we're looking at the overall thought process that's taking place here as Jesus is dealing with these seven churches. I would also remind you tonight that these are not churches throughout the ages. These are churches in all ages. You could go to any from the beginning of the church age until today, and all seven of the things that Jesus did, all the seven churches that he deals with, and every issue that he deals with is still going on in churches today. And they always have been. And so these are good reminders that, you know, we got to stay close to the Lord. We got to stay right in doctrine. We got to stay right in missions. We got to stay right in our witness. We got to stay right in every aspect, because we are human beings. Amen. And we can fail so quickly, and it's amazing how quickly somebody can turn that used to walk on the right path and go in a different direction. And churches, not careful, deception can come in, and Jezebels can come in and do great damage. Father, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And I really do believe that much good can be erased by the negative. As I mentioned earlier, I used this illustration as I wrote this down. I said, one spoonful of poison in a large pot of soup will still call a person not to eat the soup. The Bible also talks about how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that is the same with a church. If we're not careful, the negative can override the positive. Now, it is important to understand that Jesus will judge the church. Jesus will be the one that says, hey, I know thy works. I know your charity. I know the love that you show. I know your faith and your patience and your works. And the last, which would be works, to know, I mean, he's just like, I know what you're doing. And then he goes into this thing of saying this, notwithstanding something is, listen, people, we have to take a stand against false doctrine. Amen. It is imperative that we pound from the pulpit false doctrine. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to quit preaching against Calvinism or whatever it is, whatever Gnostic doctrine that's going to come along, or to remind us that we are a independent Baptist church, and that we are mission-minded, and that we do use the King James Bible. I mean, there's just people that they won't even say that out loud, but it must be said. Amen. But we have to understand that where there's a church and where there is work going on, and service and faith and missions, the devil is not going to just roll over. And he's always going to be trying to bring somebody in and trying to be very careful about deceivers and antichrist and liars. And the negative can override the positive. And just the mention of the name Jezebel, just the mention of that name is going to make it to where there's a negative aspect to what's going on in this church. Now, there's a couple of things that people just don't do. They don't name their children Judas Iscariot. They don't name their, I mean, listen, they don't even name their children Absalom or Lucifer. We wouldn't do that. And the reason that we would not, or Jezebel, we would not do that, maybe a cat. No, I'm just kidding. Not even a cat. The reason, just chill out. I'm getting the death look from my grandchild there. My cat-loving granddaughter, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying to you, we would never do those things because we love our animals. And we love our children. And we wouldn't want any negative connotation. But yet we know that all of those names found in the Word of God, they represent something. They represent. Again, I don't think we would name our children Baal because of what it means. And so can you imagine someone saying that Jezebel is associated with your church? Yet that's what Jesus Christ said to the church in Thyatira. But at the same time, Jesus had some very positive things to say. And the truth is, we are judged by what Jesus sees and by what Jesus knows. Jesus just doesn't see the outside, he sees the inside. Amen. Now you can fool your neighbor, but you can't fool God. Amen. And he looked inside of that church and he saw some things that were going on that should not be going on. But he did see some things that were going on and said that they were good. Now, if you'll notice in the very first verse here, in verse number 18, Jesus begins to show us, and a lot of times the way that he defines himself to that church has an idea of what he needs to deal with, how he's going to deal with that church. And in this particular church, he talks about the Son of God being his eyes like the flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now, those have serious implications to them. Like when you see it earlier, you'll understand that the eyes of fire represent the penetrating eyes of the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, "He looked right through me"? Or it saw, I remember being with Brother Art Wilson. And he came to our house when he was much younger in Knobnoster. He sat in our house, and if you've ever seen the book that's called Preference, Not, Duty Not Preference, it's his autobiography that it was written, and I've read it a couple times. And I had just read that book when he was coming to preach for us. And so I was asking him some questions about that book, and basically, what was amazing is my kids, whether they remember or not, got to sit at the table, and I'm thinking they need to remember this, and they got to hear some of the stories, him telling the stories that were written in the book, and one of the things that I was most interested in was about J. Frank Norris, because J. Frank Norris, you know, Brother Art Wilson had this church in Wichita, Kansas, Wichita Baptist Tabernacle, and basically that church was started out of an 8-week revival. And after an 8-week revival, they had about 120 people baptized, saved and baptized and starting a church. And that's how it started. And he was the pastor. And there's other stories like that back in those days. And I remember Brother Wilson, he went, there's no telling how many churches he preached in Kansas that started, that were their 50th anniversary that came out of that church. And so anyhow, one of the things I was interested in was J. Frank Norris, because I'd heard stories. I've since heard Brother Boonstra tell stories about J. Frank Norris. But Brother Wilson used to, Brother J. Frank Norris used to have Brother Wilson ride the train from Kansas down to Dallas and have him preach and be in the school. And J. Frank Norris decided that he wanted Art Wilson to be the head of the school, or to have an administrative part, or to run the school, or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly. You can read it in the book. But anyhow, the The idea was that, and Brother Wilson said, no, I know I'm supposed to be pastor here. But he said this, but you've never seen eyes as penetrating as J. Frank Norris. And so I just sat on the edge of my seat while he would tell me this story, and he said that he said he didn't have blue eyes, he didn't have brown eyes, he said he had gray, steely eyes. And nobody said no to J. Frank Norris, except Brother Wilson did. So I even liked him even more then. Because you don't follow what a man wants you to do, you follow what God wants you to do. But he said, those penetrating eyes. Well, that might have been true, but no eyes penetrate like Jesus.
Amen.
And he may not be sitting here physically, but he's here.
Amen.
And he knows what's going on in a church.
Amen.
He knows who the Sunday only Christians are, and he knows those who are sold out in charity and faith and service. And I can say this because this is the Wednesday night crowd. But I'd say it on Sunday morning too. God sees. And just like Brother Jones preached, do we become the gospel? What motive, what constrains us? What constrains us to come out on a Wednesday night when it's kind of almost wintry like in the middle of spring and it's raining? Well, I just have to be here because this is where I'm supposed to be. But here it says the Lord's eyes are penetrating and that can search the minds of man. How about this verse? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. My little granddaughter told me tonight, she said, Papa, you're looking fancy tonight. I said, it's them gold buttons right there. That's just the outside. It's what's on the inside. God's not fooled by outer appearances. He sees the inward man. And I'm just telling you, I don't think we should forget that. There's absolutely no person or thing that will escape the examination of Jesus Christ. Then the Bible goes on to say there in that verse 18, still in that verse, that his feet like unto fine brass. Now we know that he's talking to this church. I'm seeing this church and I know the good things that are going on, but I also see Jezebel. Now I could also say that that's an attitude. It's an attitude of hating that which is right. It's an attitude of hating authority. It's an attitude of I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Because that's what she did. And she seduced Ahab. The Bible talks about it. She literally seduced Ahab. And Ahab did whatever she said. And there's a lot that goes into that. But I think that's sufficient. I think that's all needs to be understood. And so when it says that his feet were like unto brass, you know what that means? That means absolute authority, and it means absolute victory over enemies. Now, when you go in and you begin to study about brass, it's always a judgment thing. It's a thing of judgment. For instance, the brazen altar in the tabernacle was the place where the sin offering was sacrificed. And the laver, also of brass, spoke of self-judgment, for there the priests washed their hands and their feet as they went in and out of the holy place. You know what? Best judgment is self-judgment before God judgment. And brass many times in the Bible is seen as the symbol of judgment. For instance, has anybody heard about the brazen serpent? That was a type of the cross where Jesus Christ received the judgment of God for our sins. So here's what Jesus is saying. I can see you, I will judge you, and I will not do it based on outward appearance, I will do it based on the heart. Because God looks on the heart. And by the way, in judgment, he's going to be victorious over all. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this, but if you read the rest of the Revelation, which we're not necessarily going to preach through, but if you read through it, you're going to find out we win.
Amen.
Boy, does it not seem like we're not winning right now? I mean, can you believe how much Israel is under attack? America is hanging on a thread. You don't mess with God's people.
Amen.
You help God's people.
Amen.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. I have a news channel, and I tape it, and it's the Jerusalem news. I think it's on Newsmax, it's 30 minutes and it's like NBC News, but it's Jerusalem, and they talking about all what's going on behind the scenes. I'm telling you, it's very, very, very informative. And we're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
With the way that our politicians are all of a sudden going against Israel. Listen, folks, we've never done that.
Right.
Since 1948, it's like whatever you need, we'll help you.
Amen.
Whatever you need, we'll help you. I'm going to say it publicly. Whatever they need, we should help them.
Amen.
I'm not concerned about Russia and Ukraine. I'm concerned about Israel. And God sees.
Yes, he does.
I don't know why we think that we can't fall under God's judgment.
Amen.
If we go against God's people.
That's right.
So anyhow, that was free. That didn't cost you anything. It was not in my notes, but I thought I'd give you that. Now, here's what I want you to understand here when we move to the next verses. Jesus has established himself as the judge. He's holy. And now he's going to give an assessment. And here's what he says in verse number 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now let me just tell you about Thyatira, the church. They were a working church. They were doing what needed to be done. They loved people. They had a great faith. They had patience. They had works. And I want to say it like this. In the day of Sunday morning only Christianity, that's not who they were. They did more than that. Did you know that we're not Christians just on Sunday?
Amen.
We're not Baptists just on Sunday. It's a shame. Ain't it a shame that people forget that Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. There's a song in our songbook that we found. It's in the little black book. It's page 181, and it's called "Ain't It a Shame." I'm thinking about singing it as a special. Ain't it a shame that people work on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? It's in there. If you don't believe me, just don't look at it right now. Just wait. It's page 181, right? Oh. I'm thinking you can make a whole message out of that.
Yeah.
Now, the one that gets me is verse number 2, ain't it a shame to joyride on Sunday? And I'm thinking, we used to do that when I was a kid. And this was sung back in the 1920s. So anyhow, ain't it a shame to work on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Amen.
Amen.
You ought to be in church on Sunday. Ain't it a shame to gossip on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? It's a shame to gossip on any day.
Right.
Look what you did to me, Dawson. He walks into my room. These guys, all of a sudden, Brother Fred, they're the music experts. Preacher, you need to listen to this song. Okay. I like that song. He goes, it's in our book, page 181. I said, I don't think we'll sing it right now. But I do like it. Many churches are too preoccupied with other things other than what we need to be doing.
Amen.
I told you COVID convicted me greatly. COVID convicted me that you don't have to have every little thing. You need to have church. And everybody needs to be in here to hear what God has to say. And everybody needs to read their Bible every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day. So that when you come to church on Wednesday and Sunday, you're ready.
Amen.
You're ready. And I'm just telling you, they were involved in witnessing and soul winning and serving. And I was telling the guys today, you know what happens when you go out and knock doors? People come to church. And it's always not necessarily those that you knocked on their door. It's just that God works. If you go out and knock on doors and invite people, there'll be people that'll come. It may not be those, but if you don't go out and do any of those, then people won't come. 35 years I've noticed that. That's why we need to go out and invite people. So he was very glad for the things that they were doing, except he also focused on the problem by using the word in verse number 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess. Now, we could go off right here on like women preachers.
Amen.
Women are not allowed to be pastors.
Amen.
That period. So don't come to me and tell me about some woman that preaches or whatever. No, not pastoring, no.
That's right.
I mean, my wife preaches a lot, but not up here. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I think you understand what I'm saying. But that is not the focus of that. It's the focus is the teaching and the seducing of servants to do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
And that's exactly what it's talking about here when it uses these words, fornication, sacrifice things, sacrifice to idols. And if we were to go back and we were to look at Jezebel under the time of Elijah the Tishbite, we would say that her spirit hates authority. Because she never said to her husband Ahab, "What do you think? I'll do whatever you say." No, she was the leader. She was the one that was saying, why are you whining about Naboth? I'll take." And she goes out and forcibly has Naboth killed.
Amen.
That's a hatred for righteousness.
Right.
And a hatred for authority. Be careful. Be careful about anybody that hates that which is right and anybody that hates that which is authority. You know what authority is about? It's about order. I mean, we talk about in our country about some of these cities that have all of a sudden have voted to get rid of the police officers. You might as well just pour in chaos. Because what that means is you voted to get rid of all authority and that you decide that you become the authority. That's why the Word of God is so important, because it gives us what is right and what is wrong. And like the Ten Commandments, that should be a part of all societies. Because it puts things in order. And then you get homes out of order when the children tell the parents what to do. And all of these things go on. We could also say this is a church that's like run by somebody that shouldn't be running the church. And I don't have any problem when a pastor comes here and says, "Brother Abels, you know, Berean Baptist Church just seems like it's a man-led church."
Amen.
Well, duh.
Amen.
That's the way it should be.
Yep.
Well, if your church is run by Jezebel, that ain't the way it'll be.
Right.
And that is evident, again, through preaching through the kings and the prophets and the life of Elijah. She was very much a negative influence. And Jesus pointed out their service and all of that, but all of a sudden, and by the way, he knew that in the church there was a faithful remnant. There was people in the church that were faithful. There's two things that I believe that's in our society is in jeopardy, and everybody needs to listen to this. This is in jeopardy, and it's almost like people want to throw these things out the window, but yet I think they are major, major important things, and that is number one, respect. And number two, loyalty.
Amen.
If you can't be loyal to the Lord's church and loyal to the Word of God And you can't have respect for the man of God and respect for authority and respect. Like, when I was growing up, my dad and my mom would set me down and they would talk about respecting my teachers at school.
Amen.
And they taught me what that looked like. And that when I went to work a job, that I respected the person that I was working for. And I said, yes, sir, and no, sir. And if they said, go sweep out the closet, I went and swept out the closet because that's respect.
Amen.
For your boss.
That's right.
I heard Ron Jones tell a story about somebody that was working on staff with him, and he was working on staff with Brother McCracken and this other guy. And Brother McCracken said to Ron Jones, I want you to go out and I want you to change the oil in all the buses. He said, we had 8 buses. And he said, I want you to take so-and-so with you. So he go. Ron said, I went into so-and-so and said, well, preacher wants us to go out and change the oil in all the buses, all 8 of them. And he said, well, that's not what I come here for. I came here to learn how to be in the ministry. By the way, changing oil in buses is ministry. Ron said, I just left the office and I went out there. And he said, I was on the 3rd bus. I drained the oil out of it and I slid under there. And he said, I was on the 3rd bus. And he said, all of a sudden I heard crunch, 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 crunch. And I looked under there and I said, oh, that's Brother McCracken's shoes. And McCracken looks under there and he goes, where's so-and-so? He goes, he told me this wasn't his job. Oh, okay. Anyhow, Ron said this, 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 and he said, next thing you know, he don't work there no more.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And Ron said, Brother McCracken used to tell me this, I fired my dad, I don't mind firing you. So I asked McCracken on Monday when I played golf with him, I said, hey, I want to ask you a question. He goes, okay. I said, did you really fire your dad? And he goes, yep. I said, what kind of cold-blooded man are you? He said, well, just wasn't working out. I said, you fired your dad? He goes, yep. And ever since then, I ain't had any trouble firing nobody that didn't know what I said. That's funny right there, even if I'm telling it, I'm telling you. You can ask him about that when he comes. Loyalty, respect. She didn't have that. And professing Christendom today is far more concerned with its own system than it is with loyalty to Christ. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be a pulpit politician, because we got a lot of that. And here's what I mean by that. Well, if you preach that, then I'll quit tithing. Well, you shouldn't even be here if you can't have the Word of God being preached to you.
Amen.
I want to be loyal to the Lord, and so should you.
Amen.
Missionaries have quit preaching truth many times because they're afraid they'll lose their support. Praise God for men like Micaiah in the Old Testament who said, as the Lord leaveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Remember that? Remember when they told him that? We've already gone through that. He said, now listen, everybody's in agreement with this. Why don't you be in agreement with us? He goes, I can only say what the Lord will tell me to say. And then the Lord, he pointed out there in verse 19 about their charity. You know, the devil has done a very good job of confusing Christendom concerning what real biblical love is.
Amen.
Well, we just love everybody. And like we don't. And many times what people call love is what they need to call it is toleration. And there's a difference between love and toleration.
Amen.
The love practiced and taught by many Christians today is nothing more than just blind ignorance of, and we cannot look at sin like it's okay.
Amen.
And if a Christian takes a stand on anything, he's called unloving and a legalist. Those are the two favorite words. Paul said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And the word abhor means to render foul and to turn oneself away from God. And as the children of God, we're to render foul and turn away from anything that is evil, whether it is in the world or whether it is in the church. And Paul said, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation refers to the acting of a stage player, and the word from which we get our English word hypocrite. Let love be without hypocrisy. You want to love people? Absolutely. But you don't want to tolerate sin. What Paul is saying is simple. If you claim to be a Christian, don't be a hypocrite and a stage player. If something is wrong, render it foul and turn away from it. And you see that the idea here is when we see this, it says thou sufferest. You're allowing this to take place in the church. No, you can't do that. And let me just say this as a pastor. I can't fix what I don't know. And I don't have ESPN. Oh yeah, I do. I got that at home. It's ESP. That's what I don't have. I do have ESPN. That was funny right there. But I got me some of that. Ain't it a shame I don't have no ESPN? I can't fix what I don't know. But if you know something's going on, come let me know. If it ain't right. You know what ministry is? Day by day process. You know what life is? Day by day process. Every day. You know what it means? Keep on keeping on. Being faithful. Reading. Praying. Every day. And the Lord praised them for their patience and their determination and their steadfastness. And those things are good. But don't tolerate evil. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They were not quitters. They just tolerated things they shouldn't have tolerated. It's almost like 1 Corinthians, where they were like, they thought they were spiritual because they were allowing people to do things that they should not be doing. So the main thing that he attacks them for, of course, is this woman. And the Lord revealed the dreadful corruption that had crept into this church when he used the word notwithstanding. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find this woman was known for her persecution and murder of God's people. In Ahab's time, Israel went into dark apostasy, served Baal, made groves for idolatrous worship, and provoked the Lord to anger. Remember, basically God said, it ain't never been this bad in Israel. And it was all because Jezebel was allowed to come in and make great influence. And I think about that because I know that there was never a good king in the northern tribes of Israel. But again, we talk about how that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And we realize that when we get to the apex of wickedness in Israel, God sends Elijah and Elisha for that ministry for 70 years or so during those dark periods of Ahab and Jezebel. And I'm telling you, when God's time arrives, there will be judgment. You know why God doesn't just put the hammer down? It's revealed in the text because he's always waiting for repentance. Amen. That goes for all of us. God is a gracious God. Tribulation is coming, and those who follow the doctrines of Jezebel will suffer the wrath of God when he arrives. But notice it says here in verse 24 through verse 28, I'll read it, but it talks about overcoming, staying by the stuff. God's going to rule with a rod of iron. Praise God for the faithful. Let me just say that. Amen. Praise God for faithful people. We've got great, faithful, God-fearing, loving charity. I mean, I just love our church. When something needs to be done, there's a bunch of people getting it done. Amen. That's good. Everybody understand that? Yeah. That's good. That's the way it should be. And there in Thyatira was the faithful. And by the way, God knows who you are. And God knows what you're doing. And Christ says unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, they've not involved themselves in that doctrine. They've not been duped by Jezebel. They've not gone in that way. They've not known the depths of Satan. And you know what the truth is there was a faithful remnant who refused to follow the paganism and the worldliness that the devil just loves. He loves for Christians to be carnal. Praise God for the faithful who refuse the theological trends of the day and just stay faithful and true. And in the midst of the trial, he said, I'll put no other burden on you. Now, we could also look at this as the tribulation. Folks, we're not going to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
We're out of here.
Amen.
Thank God for His mercy. You know, the Bible talks about there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me just give you two things here. God will be with you, but even in great tribulation, sometimes you think, man, I'm at the very end. God's not going to put you through more than you can take. You may think you're on the edge, but God will see you through.
Amen.
And He'll see churches through. We are not without hope. The Lord is coming back. When's He coming back, preacher? I don't know. Just watch the Middle East. Jesus reminds them that He's coming back. And looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that's our blessed hope. And He that overcometh and keepeth My works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of My Father. Hey, one day we're going to rule and reign with Him.
Amen.
You know, Christ is going to share His rule with us. I don't know exactly everything what it looks like. I have no idea. Whatever He puts us in, that's fine.
That's right. Amen. Absolutely.
He'll take care of that.
Right.
You know, Christian life is simple. Don't make it complicated. And it's life-changing. God changes us day by day. Church life and Christian life is not about rituals and ceremonies. It's living out on a daily basis our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People ask you something like, man, it was a busy week. And I just say, like, is there a week that's not busy? Last week, you know, you got tired. But it's a good kind of tired. And Christianity is about our life in Christ, not about being in the world. I believe one of the problems was probably the lust for power. That's what caused the problem in Thyatira. And we could go back to our study in the book of Matthew chapter 5. And we could go to chapter 5 and verse 5 where it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus never intends for Christians to be losers. They're to be overcomers. The believer is a creature of victory, not of defeat. We have the victory because Jesus won it for us. He defeated Satan and He crushed Satan. Don't let him have the victory. And don't let some deceiver come by and tell you what the Bible has always said all of a sudden is not true. If it was true 35 years ago or 50 years ago or 100 years ago, it'll still be true today.
Amen.
Salvation by grace through faith is never going to change. And then concerning the overcomer, in verse 28, he said, "I'll give him the morning star." And you know what the morning star speaks of? By the way, there's a good one to use right there. I didn't even think about that. But a lot of times these new Bible versions, they talk about Satan being the morning star. No, Jesus is the morning star.
Amen.
They actually equate the devil. Boy, don't you know he likes that? No wonder he likes other versions of the Bible.
Amen.
But the morning star speaks of the presence of the Lord Himself. What a reward. We need to make sure that we're faithful and that we're working. But we also need to be reminded that we cannot tolerate seducers. and liars.
Amen.
And antichrist.
Amen.
So somebody comes up to you and says, I want you to read this book. Be very careful.
Amen.
Or, you know, has anybody ever showed you a deeper way of life? You, deeper means you're going to be in a big hole. You're not, you might not be. That is so much a mumbo jumbo. That is mumbo jumbo. And Jesus don't talk like that. He says, read your Bible. Fast. Pray. Worship. Read the Bible again. Fast. Worship. Pray. Listen to God's Word. Be loyal to Him. Be faithful to Him. And live your life out on an everyday basis so that people can see Christ in you. You know what we need? Patience, faithfulness, and we need to be an overcomer in our simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not tolerate evil. Do not tolerate Jezebel in your life. Do not tolerate seducers. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Ask the Lord to help you tonight to be an overcomer. If you need to come to the altar.